Welcome to Magic's Big Adventure, Volume 5, a BelowTopSecret.com member podcast feature. In this volume, I wanted to talk more about dreams and some of the dreams that I had. And again, we're working our way through the rather fascinating experiences I had in the summer of 2004. The question of dreams. Dreams, of course, there's been a lot of literature and discussion, and songs are written, and you know, dreams have a romantic quality that they capture the imagination. Of course, everyone dreams. I think, like most people, I don't remember most of my dreams. When I wake up each morning, I'm usually not remembering a dream. I know I generally dream, but don't generally remember them. One of the interesting things about what was happening when I started meditating last summer was I had a lot of very vivid dreams that did stay with me. In fact, I remember them now. I went today, I was looking through the confessions thread and just kind of looking back. Oh man, I was definitely manic. No question about that. It might seem odd that I wouldn't know that I'm manic, but it's funny how that can creep up on you. So heck, I could be manic now and not really realize it, but oh well. Such are the trials and tribulations of being a maniac. But these dreams, there's dreams that you don't remember at all, and there's dreams you'll wake up and you'll remember them for a little while, and I do that too, and then they go away and you forget about them. And then there's those dreams that oftentimes wake you up, it just startle you awake, and you never forget them. And I've had a few dreams like that before, but last summer it was kind of becoming habitual. And I look at, this whole business, this Prophet Yoshio thing, and, technically I'm a Webster's Dictionary version of the prophet, if not a biblical one. I can point to a particular vision that I had. This wasn't even a dream. This was actually a vision while I was meditating that I could point to and say, okay, that's when I became a prophet. And I really hate that word, by the way. It sounds so, I don't know, it's got a lot of baggage that comes along with it. And I prefer to think of myself as a mystic, and it's kind of or a seer, a meditating dude. But technically, it's a prophet. So take that for what it's worth. That doesn't mean, by the way, that I can predict the future. I don't think anyone can. What I call my prophecies are actually, I think, memories of the last from before, and that's a whole issue I'll get into later. This whole model that I've built, which is probably wrong, about cycles of creation and convergence and divergence and, the meaning of life and all those wonderful things. As I mentioned before, I've been pretty busy, probably just building a house of cards, but so it goes. But the turning, a real major milestone, I guess you could say, for me, when things just really changed, was when I had what I could call the big one, the grand vision. And this was unexpected. One of the things I remember about that is that it was just, I didn't expect anything like that to happen at all. It completely came out of left field. And it was so overwhelming for a vision. I mean, I have these visions and these impressions and things that come to me. This just knocked my socks off. It's the kind of thing I could imagine some guy living 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. If this happened to him, yeah, okay. I'll tell you, I was almost ready to put on sackcloth, and go, live out in the desert and eat crickets and wild honey and all that stuff that prophets do, because this really just blew my mind. And the vision itself was relatively short. It didn't last very long, but the overwhelming impact of it is something that just stays with me right now. I got goosebumps just thinking about it. It was really a life-changing thing, and it was just this vision that I had. And I was, thinking back on it, I had this vision. It's like I was in space, and I was like next to a giant, like what could have been a blue giant sun, although it was white. And I was close. I felt like I was really close, but I didn't feel any heat. And even though there was this blinding light radiating from it, it didn't really obscure things. It was bright, but it wasn't, it wasn't glary. It was just very, intense light. And there were these little stars that were all around it that were just sitting there, and they were like little white pinpoints, And I guess, you know, Brother Avatar might say, well, yeah, you know, were any of them like light blue? And I think, yeah, I think so. You know, maybe I think so, actually. Behind all this, off in the distance, were what looked like nebulas, and they were all these different colors, like red and blue and green and yellow, and you know, there's these cloudy-looking nebulas that were in the background, and I think that they were actually all kind of like stars. What really caught my attention, though, in the foreground, were these really bright golden stars that, you know, some of them were stationary, but a lot of them were moving around, and they were like little trains of them, like, you know, a group of five or six of them, and they were moving along what looked like these little predetermined paths, like beads sliding along on an invisible string. And I'm sitting here, and all this time, and again, this was not a very long vision, but the other thing that kind of surprised me was I heard music coming from all these stars. And it's, wow. There's no way to describe it. It's, I'm getting a little teary here. It's just, it was like these choruses of, I don't know if I could call them voices. I think they could have been voices, but they sounded so clear, and they were in perfect harmony. And the music was just incredible. It was, you know, it was very, very uplifting, I guess you could say. So here I am, I'm, you know, kind of seeing this image in my mind, and it's very vivid. And it wasn't even like I was hearing the music with my ears. It was like I was feeling it with my body. It was just, the music was everywhere. And I'm watching these golden stars, and they're moving around. And I noticed that some of these golden stars were, you know, these trains of stars were going in and out of the sun that was there. It was like a giant sun. And when I saw that, I thought, hey, I can go in there too. And without really knowing how, I moved into the sun myself. And that's when it got really intense. I will have a hard time, I think, describing this, and I'm, you know, typed some stuff out in the thread, and you know, you go back and you read right after I had this vision, I just had tears streaming out of my eyes. I was overwhelmed with emotion. I'd never ever experienced anything like that. It really is impossible to overemphasize how strong the impression. I mean, still to this day, I mean, it's more than a year later, and I'm just still in awe of that vision. And when I went inside the sun, it was, first of all, it was like that, the music, it was very interesting. It was like being immersed in like a pool of light. It's like going into water, sort of, but not, it's kind of hard to explain. I was in the sun, and surrounded by all this light, but what really got my attention was the feeling that everyone was there. It was like the ultimate party there. And everybody was very, very happy to be there. The overwhelming sentiment that I felt inside this giant white sun was one of joy, just incredible joy and happiness. And you know, think of all the things you've lost, you know, in your life and maybe your lives, you know, and think of all the things that have saddened you. And in this place, all the things you lost are returned, and all the things that have brought you sorrow are resolved. That everything is right. There's nothing wrong. It's all been straightened out and being taken care of. And that's what it felt like inside the sun. And I'm describing it like this, and I'm not doing justice to it at all. You know, people talk about heaven, and they talk about, you know, you have these images of, you know, angels with wings and halos sitting around playing harps on clouds and stuff like that. This is so much better. And I, you know, when I went in and I felt this, I felt it for only a moment before I snapped out of the vision, because it was so powerful that I just couldn't handle it. I literally had to just say, okay, it wasn't even voluntary. I popped out of that vision. And then I ran to the computer. And, you know, if people have all these different images, you know, and I have plenty of mine too, these ideas of what, you know, well, what's life after death or whatever. And I'll tell you, after that vision, one of the things that came out of this whole business of last summer is I don't fear death anymore at all. I do not fear dying. Oh, I'll take that back. I don't fear death. The dying part, yeah, okay. I don't want to die any. I want to live as long as I can. But and death sucks. I have memories of dying before, and it always sucked every time. You know, even the quick ones, like where I was walking. I think I was in a garden or something, and I just fell over. And it was something, I guess, wrong with my brain. I don't really remember, but that sucked too. in my woodcarver life, I lived to be very old for that time. I had great-grandchildren when I died, and I died in bed, and my wife was with me, and that was, it was a very fulfilling life. And it was a relatively peaceful death, but I had things going wrong inside me, and I could feel the pain of it, and it was bad, you know. So dying, I'm not a big fan of, but as far as fearing death or fearing annihilation or what comes after death, no, not at all, not at all. If it's an illusion, if I'm deluding myself about that, at least it's a pleasant one. If I die and I cease to exist, I'm okay with that too, but I'm pretty sure that's not what happens. And what's nice is I'm pretty sure that what does happen is actually a pretty good deal. As far as, you know, it can be a lot worse. I know, especially in this life here on Earth, we tend to think that, you know, we fear a lot of things, you know, but I'm coming to realize, I think as we find out more, we have less reason to fear, because the truth is, I think, actually pretty encouraging. So that was the big one, I guess you could call it, and it really changed everything for me. And along and during that time also, I had these other dreams, fascinating ones, like the Project Archangel dream. I'm lying here. And this is like one of the more classic dreams. You know, this was actually, I'm asleep. And I like wake up in this bed, and it's on a sidewalk in a suburban American neighborhood somewhere, you know, suburbia. And there's this garage door open across the street, and this teenage girl comes out, and she comes trotting over to me, and she's carrying some papers. And she's got like this long black hair, and I think she was wearing like a purple shirt or something, like black pants, something like that. And I'm lying in this bed, I'm like trying to figure out what's going on here. And she puts these, you know, what looked like Xerox copies on my chest, face down. And I went to try and lift them, and she, like, wanted to make sure that you're face down. And then she kind of stepped back and gave me a little smile, and then she ran back into the garage. And I, you know, pick up these papers, and I'm reading them. And they look like these really mundane plans for things like just like little anchors for bolts to put in, to be put into, and just very simple mechanical plans. And I'm like, well, what's this all about? And as I looked at the plans, I started seeing in the plans that there was a message that was very cleverly worked into the plans in such a way where, like, you'd see dimensions, and there's like dimensions, and I was reading through this, and heck, now I can't quite remember the exact words, but it was telling me about Project Archangel and a plan to something to do with, like, create, you know, building up a lot of energy. And I'm like, whoa, what's this all about? And what I think's fascinating about that dream is that just the whole idea of the way the message was encoded in the plans is what kind of surprised, like, wow, that was really clever. Like, did I make that up? You know, this is in my dream, so who knows? But it felt like someone was trying to give me a message. And I guess that's what, you know, Brother Avadar would refer to as a telepathic dream. Someone was trying to communicate with me. And maybe that's what that was. Another one which really stands out with me today is the flying lessons dream. And that's one where I'm in this place which didn't, you know, I don't remember walls or boundaries, but I remember there were like these platforms that looked like shelves all around. And we were standing on one, and I'm standing next to this angel. This angel's really tall, although he was, I don't know, I felt he looked tall, but maybe looking back on it, I was maybe about the same height. It's kind of hard to remember. It's a dream. But this angel was like the classic angel. It was a male angel, and he was wearing, like, you know, kind of a very close-fitting robe with no collar, white. Everything about this guy was white except his eyes and his hair. And he looked like Christopher Walken. I mean, not exactly like Christopher Walken, but he looked like a really pale version of Christopher Walken. But what was interesting about him, he had like the hair, you know, and so it was almost like he was going for the Christopher Walken look. But his skin seemed like it was covered with down, and he had the angel's wings. He had these really huge white bird wings on his back, and a halo. He had a white halo. What was interesting about him, though, were his eyes, which were dark. They were just like, you know, like unfathomably dark. No irises or anything. It was like his whole, you know, his whole irises where you'd see color normally was just all black. But there was like a hint of something in them, which is kind of, by the way, Vanessa's eyes are like that, except when I look in her eyes, I can see constellations. It's really quite a fascinating thing. I look at her eyes, and she does have kind of like irises, but again, they're really dark. And but inside her eyes, you can actually see stars in them, and it's a really interesting thing. And what I think is fascinating about it is the way the constellations look seems to have a meaning to me. When I look in her eyes and I see the constellations, I know it's her. It sounds kind of weird, maybe. So here I am with this angel. This angel's didn't actually. What's interesting about it is we didn't talk. We just communicated, you know, we just kind of knew what was going on. And he made it clear to me that I needed to practice jumping from one platform to another. And he would follow along behind me, and he had this like rod that he was carrying around. And it looked like just, I think it was like a white rod or something like that. And it just was like a stick in his hand, like a nicely machined, you know, inanimate carbon rod. I don't know, something like that. And so I started jumping, and I was like, okay, and I felt pretty light. I mean, it was a dream, so I was like kind of floating, and I started, you know, and so I'm jumping from one platform to another and just kind of getting used to the whole thing. And he's following along behind me, and when I would land, he would like land behind me, and he would put this rod down where I landed, and he would hold it at the angle that I landed at. And then I like step over and I look at it, and I really wasn't understanding what he was doing at first. And so I kept jumping, and he kept following and putting this rod down to kind of measure my landing angle. And finally, I was getting to the point where I was doing like flips and somersaults in the air. I was really getting into it. And finally, I realized, I looked at him and said, oh, you're measuring my landing angle. And for some reason, when I figured that out, he seemed satisfied. And he held up this thing that looked like a jig of some kind, which... it was really kind of weird. I'm trying to remember if he did. No, he did the halo first, I think. And he held this thing up to my face and used it to fit a halo on my head. And it pinched my nose. And so he put like this little band-aid on it. This sounds really weird, I know. So, hey, it's a dream. So what you gonna say, right? And then he stepped behind me, and he had like a bigger one of these little, like a almost like a guide kind of thing. And he put it on, and I could feel it on my back. And he was. And what he was doing was fitting me for my wings. And when I figured that out, I went, oh, wow, I got my wings. And I'm like really jazzed about having the wings. And I turned around, I think, and he was standing there. And I looked at him, and I was looking at him closely. You know, and it's weird because I could see the downy skin that he had and everything. And I forget the thought that I had, but I remember thinking, you know, I recognized him. I was like, oh. Brother Michael. And when I said that, he kind of looked down sort of, but then he kind of looked up with, he like sort of bowed his head a little bit. He looked up with his, with those dark eyes of his, and we made eye contact, and yeah, it was him. So was this like Archangel Michael? I don't know, but, that's what it felt like. And he really, and when I looked into his eyes, that was one of the interesting things about his eyes. I think he was very old. I think he's a very old spirit. I think he goes back a long way in the cycles. I think he appeared very early and has kind of evolved along with the universe, if you will. And I guess I'll get into that later. Anyway, I've rambled on and talked about dreams and stuff, and there's a lot of different ways my narrative can go with regards to the many different things that happen. But this is one of them, and you know, as I look forward to the next volume, I'm hoping to kind of go through and cover some of these. So there's kind of a look at some of these vivid dreams I had. I think coming up next, I might want to talk a little bit more about, say, past lives or something like that. Anyway, if you know, again, if you're using these to fall asleep, I hope it's working, and you know, if you find it interesting, I'll keep talking. Anyway, this is Magic with the Magic's Big Adventure, signing out for now.